1-800-449-8686. Now, Bill Hendry.
Hold on. I'm talking with parents about, you know, newborn babies and their expectations. So Paul Lane's with me. Go ahead, Paul.
Oh, well, my wife, Carrie, just gave birth to a baby boy, and I can tell you we were very happy and very proud. And she did have some difficult time getting pregnant.
What's your son's name?
His name is Matthew.
And how big was he?
Yes, sir. He was 8 pounds and 5 ounces, 20 inches.
Well, that's a healthy kid, huh?
We're very proud of him. And
What is the problem you're having with management at work? Because I know that you have a warehouse job with Henning, the parts company.
Yes, sir.
Tell me about that.
Well, it's difficult to get management to understand that you don't want to be bothered by other people coming up to you with their baby pictures because you have, you know, your own child that you know is a very special baby, and when you see someone else's kid, you know that that child is not as special as I'm just speaking in my case. I brought pictures of my son Matthew, my family background, just so you know, Phil. I'm a descendant of Confederate General James Longstreet, so we've got we have kind of a distinguished background. General Longstreet was at Gettysburg, and I guess you could say we've always felt that we were very special.
Okay. And so you bring pictures of your son to work.
Yes, and that I had developed to brought her into my work. I had three individuals who, when I approached their desk and told them that I had some new pictures of my son, they declined to look at them. Now, that really took the wind out.
Well, you said that you're bringing in pictures, so weren't these pictures, they'd already seen them?
No, but these are pictures of my son, Matthew. They were new pictures, but the point that I'm trying to make is, this is a very special boy. Again, as I mentioned, I'm a descendant of Confederate General James Longstreet. We feel very strongly that Matthew is going to be some kind of a very special person. And so I think in that instance, you should direct employees or at least direct other people in the office where I work to look at the baby pictures and to appreciate that my son is very special.
But you have declined, and you've asked management that you don't want to look at anybody's baby pictures.
That is correct, yes, sir.
Why? I mean, if you're asking people to look at the pictures of your son, why wouldn't you want to look at pictures of other people's kids?
This is always misunderstood, but the point is, other people's children, they love, and that's fine, but it's difficult to look at someone's child when you know that they aren't really all that special. I know it sounds egotistical.
But they're special to those people.
No, but I know they're special to those people, but I'm saying that my son is special. He's going to be special I believe, to the human race. I mean, my daughter, my ex-wife's daughter, Sandy, just had a baby, and she wanted us to see pictures of her baby, and I told her it's just not the same thing, you know, and I don't really want to look at your kid because my wife, Carrie, and I, we can see that when we look at our son, you know, he's just a special guy. One of our receptions had a baby, and it wasn't anything special. I took a look at the picture, and it didn't look all that special, and it kind of breaks your heart to see everybody excited about it.
So you're saying that your son, Matthew, being an extra special kid, you want people to see pictures of him, but you don't want to have to look at pictures of other people's kids because you have some kind of a sense that they're not as special as your son?
Well, I know what you say, you know.
Because what I'm hearing here is a father's understandable pride, but you don't want it to get out of control.
No, this is not just pride. This is a belief that I truly believe my son, and I hope you can understand this, is going to be, he could be president of the United States someday. I honestly believe.
But isn't that, Mr. Lane, isn't that what every parent says?
No, see, I knew it. Every time I bring it up, I know people aren't going to understand me. My son, I'm not just saying this. Everybody has feelings of pride for their child. You're right. But you are making it sound like somehow my child is the same as other kids, and that was not my understanding when I came on your show. My understanding when I came on your show was to talk about how special my son is, and now you're saying everybody, their kid's special too? Because,
well, that's what every parent thinks.
I know every parent thinks that, but I've seen the pictures that other parents bring into work, and they're not impressive. And the people that you're looking at, the baby you're looking at, There's an emptiness in a lot of the eyes. There's a in some of the eyes. There's a they almost a sociopathic look in the eyes of a lot of these babies that my son just does not have.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Thanks for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. Paul Lane is with us. Paul is a employee of Henning Parts, one of the biggest parts distributors in North America. He and his wife just had an 8-pound, 5-ounce baby boy, and has petitioned management at his office to be able to bring pictures of his baby in, which of course you should be able to, but you want everybody to look at them, and not everybody wants to.
That is correct, yes.
And also, you don't want to have to look at other people's baby pictures, because their kids just aren't all that special. Now, I want to ask you this question, and again, our number is 1-800-449-8686, because you're talking to a lot of parents out there who are going to think that you just are completely deluded and that you just don't get it.
No, I understand that. I understand that. I mean, everybody thinks their kid's great. Yeah, good for them, but, they don't get that my son is very special. And
why not just say, sure, I'll look at the picture? Why not humor people? You know what I mean by humoring people, Paul? Why not simply say, yeah, I'll look at the picture of your baby? What the heck?
You know, Mr. Hendricks, because I was always raised, to be honest, you have to understand my family's related to Confederate General Longstreet. He was at Gettysburg. It's the way that I've always been. And you tell people that when you show them a picture of your child so they can somehow grasp what it is you're talking about, I just don't know how to tell them that not all babies, not all children are going to have the abilities that my son Matthew has. And I don't want to stand there and tell these people, you know, your kid looks, your kid looks like an idiot or what, looks like a mongoloid or something. It's a lovely thing for a baby to...
Well, you're not going
to
say the kid's a mongoloid. You can simply say your baby is a beautiful baby. Why not say that?
Because I cannot understand that the ethics, the ethical background that I come from, I don't lie.
Do you really think that that's a lie?
Well, it isn't a lie, but I come from a background, being related to a Civil War hero as I am, I'm not dishonest. And I just don't know how to tell people that not all babies, not all children are going to have the abilities that my son Matthew has. And the problem is I'm an honest person, and to lie to someone and say your kid's beautiful because I said you look at these babies and they have this empty look in their eyes. I've seen babies that have just like doll's eyes, like dead eyes. It's a lovely thing for a baby to be special to its own parents because that love, they will love that child no matter what its problems. But when you look at a baby like Matthew, you're looking at a person who's going to make a difference in this world. And I really do believe that my son, you may laugh at this, is going to be the leader of the free world someday.
I appreciate the love and the devotion you have to your son, but you're asking your business where you work that you should be allowed to post pictures of your son in the lunchroom bulletin board, and people should look at those pictures, correct?
That is correct, yes, sir.
And that you want to be able to approach anybody's desk and say, here's a picture of my son, and they'll take time out to look at it. You don't want to do that for anybody else's kid.
No, and I know what you mean, that it sounds selfish.
Well, it certainly does. It certainly sounds selfish.
But again, you have to understand that my lineage goes back to a great Civil War general by the name of Longstreet who was at Gettysburg, and not everybody can say that. My wife has some. There is rumor that my wife was related to, and I want to say right now that we're very proud that she was related to Jim Bowie, who is at the Alamo. So we do have this kind of lineage.
All right, this gentleman's name is Paul Lane. His wife just gave birth 8 weeks ago to a baby boy. His name is Matthew. They believe this child is so special that everyone should look at baby pictures of him, but you and your wife do not want to be compelled or even asked to look at baby pictures of other people's kids. Is that correct?
We would rather not.
You'd rather not have people come up to you?
It's not that I want to be rude, but every baby compared to my son looks dead. It looks like just a dead thing. It doesn't even look human.
And what does that mean? That sounds contemptuous.
No, it's not contemptuous. I'm just saying my son is vibrant. He has life. He has blood pumping through his veins. And I look at other babies, and they look as if... I remember when I was a boy, we used to tell these dead baby jokes, and I never thought they were funny. But you look at these babies today, not the way they used to look, but babies today all look just dead. Just dead to me.
To you is the key phrase.
No, that's true, but I also believe that it's very possible that some of these babies are dead, or, you know, dead-like.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Paul Lane is with us. We'll take a break. 1-800-449-8686. As we talk about baby pictures, he wants people to look at the pictures of his kid, but he doesn't want to have to look at pictures of other people's kids because, frankly, his son is very, very special. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Mr. Lane, I know your son is a very special boy to you.
Well, you have to understand something, sir.
No, but I know your son's a very special boy to you, but to not want to look at anybody else's baby pictures and to require that people look at your kids' baby pictures.
Well, here is, if I could, my wife Carrie brought in a log that we have kept since my son was born 8 weeks ago. His ability to rationalize has already shown signs of decision-making. He can overpowers weaker emotions. He can communicate his needs. He has given hand signals as to what he needs because he can't speak just yet. He has indicated to me that he is satisfied with the parents that he has. He's indicated to me that get ready for some big things is all I'm saying. And my son, well, I love him to pieces, and anybody that wanted to hurt him, of course, I'd hurt them bad, probably real bad, but
that's all fine. That's all understandable. But other people's kids look dead?
I'm sorry I shouldn't have said that, but...
Well, that's what you said. All other babies look dead to you.
All other babies don't look... It's not that they don't look. I just don't think they are as alive and as vital as my boy.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Teresa. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show, Teresa.
Yeah, sir. I was just wondering. I was just commenting to my husband that, you know, all God's children are special. So no matter
where you are
in the world and who your descendants are, all children are special.
Well, that's
no
true.
Matter what.
There's no doubt about that. But some children are more special than others, obviously, because they grow up to become greater people. For instance, some grow up to become presidents. Some grow up to become murderers. I mean, that's just, you know, you can't say then that they're the same.
Your son's going to grow up to be president because why?
Because a couple of things. He shows extraordinary intelligence and strength and willpower
for
his age.
How old is your son?
He's 8 weeks old, ma'am.
8 weeks old?
Yes, ma'am.
And he does sign language?
That's wrong.
I heard that, too. What do you mean by sign language?
It's wrong to say sign language. What I'm saying is he can indicate things to me intelligently that other babies can't.
Well, my grandson is 16 months old. They don't speak yet. He's been walking since he was 8 months old, and he does sign language on diaper change,
right.
Food.
That's right.
And
sure.
So my grandson could be president of the United States, if you're saying that.
No,
ridiculous.
No, ma'am, I'm saying my son is 8 weeks old. Your grandson's 16. There's a big difference there. So
yeah,
by the time my son is 16,
no signs at 8 weeks old too.
But I doubt that. But by the time my son is 16 months old,
you can't judge other people's children looking at pictures.
Can I ask you? Did your son or your grandson, I should say, did your grandson exhibit an ability to overpower weaker emotions?
And what do you mean by that?
I mean he has almost an admirable strength in terms of his emotional life. He can. When he should cry, he sucks it up and doesn't cry. Things like that.
Well, I don't know how you know when a kid's supposed to cry.
Exactly.
As opposed to...
Well, you can laugh if you want to. That's fine. All I'm asking from my employer is that I not be forced to look at other people's baby pictures because I'm a very busy man.
Then you shouldn't show your pictures either.
No.
Have consideration to other people.
I wouldn't, except my son is a baby other people should look at compared to their children.
That's absolutely wrong.
Well,
you should not force other people to look at your child if you're not going to look at theirs.
But everyone
that
looks at my child will say the same thing. He is absolutely gorgeous. He looks wonderful. And then when I see their baby pictures, I have to be honest with them. Say that child looks almost half dead.
Jesus, are you kidding me?
You're really rude.
No, ma'am, I'm honest. And you know something? In this world, honesty...
And God doesn't appreciate that kind of behavior.
Well, ma'am, I'm glad you're so on such terms with God that you know what he appreciates and doesn't appreciate, but I will tell you that if I'd seen your grandson, I would try my very best to be polite, but I'm sure your grandson doesn't compare to my son, and that's nothing to be...
All right.
Why don't you email me a picture and I'll email you one?
I don't know that you're qualified to look at it. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, good God, you are so ridiculous.
Well, ma'am, you know what? Just because you think your kid's all that, I mean...
But you're the one that got on the radio and said that your kid's all that.
But he is. That's what I'm trying to communicate to the world.
Well, right. And you know what you ought to do? You ought to just fly a banner of him and show it to the world.
Well, you see, your jealousy just comes out in such anger. And I realize you love your grandson.
Laughing at no, I love all children.
Have you come
all
to
children.
The point where
it
you realize
what doesn't matter what they look like or what they can do because they're God's children and you should love and
ma'am,
look at all children no matter what.
You have to come to realize your grandson's not going to achieve as much as mine. That's all I'm trying to say. I'm not saying he's not going to be great.
You're just pretty sure that her grandson will not achieve as much.
Well, she can laugh if she wants to.
All right, listen.
You know, right. I don't care what my grandson is.
I've said all I need to say to this lady. I don't know what you want me to do.
Well, sir, try not to be rude.
I'm trying not to be rude.
All right, listen, Teresa, thank you for your call.
Thank you.
1-800-449-8686. Gary, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Paul Lane.
Yeah.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Okay, this is Gary from Atlanta. I was just wanting to talk to the man about the children. I've had two kids myself.
Yes, sir.
One 23 and one's 21 right now. One's on the honor roll at college, and when they both were at that age, laying in bed, they were just 8-week-old kids, flailing, crying, wanting out of the bed, rolling over.
Go. See, that's the difference between, you know, my kid and yours.
Well, I mean, mine's got a 3.96 average in college as a junior. I didn't notice anything special about her as just a kid. She was a kid. Now,
well, that's
true.
She was
a kid? No.
But see, I do notice things about Matthew, and that's why I'm saying that he's someone you should see. And I don't mean no disrespect to you, but I don't really care about your kid. I'm talking about...
Look at...
I understand that completely.
I'm a direct descendant of a Confederate general, General Longstreet, who was at Gettysburg. My son doesn't... You know,
I enjoy the Confederacy. I love that as well, but I still don't. I don't understand the tie-in between a Confederate general and an eight-week-old baby. Who
can I ask what the
child prodigy?
Are you giving your son a bath right now?
Actually, I'm taking a bath, Mr. Henry. My son is in bed right now, but I had a long day at work, and the television people have called me, and the radio people have called me, and I'm literally sitting in a bathtub right now doing that.
Does the FCC know that you're in a bathtub?
I hope not.
All right, let's get back to what we're talking about. Your son needs to be seen by the world.
Because I do feel that someday Matthew will be the leader of the free world. He has indicated that much to me, not you know, verbally, but you can tell by just the way he looks at you.
What's he said?
Well, he's indicated things.
What's he indicated?
Well, I mean, how could you understand? You say you got a smart kid, and she was peeing in her pants or whatever, so it...
Yeah, has he changed his diaper yet?
Well, no, of course he hasn't. Well, you know, if you're jealous too,
I'm not.
Well,
jealous.
I don't know.
I'm just saying, I don't understand what an 8-week-old child has done to this point.
There's certain hand signs. There's certain hand signals that he gives.
Okay. Well, what do you mean by? What do you mean by hand signals?
He has indicated.
Thumbs up.
It could be. You know. All right, you go ahead and laugh, but
Bush is on TV and thumbs up. Kerry's on TV, thumbs down.
You know what? Your daughter's only got a 3.9, okay? That's not the highest you can get, you know.
Oh, that's true. That is exactly
right. Thanks
right.
very much, Gary. 1-800-449... People are laughing at you.
Well, that's because they're jealous.
1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. You need a checkup from the neck up. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
We have Mr. Paul Lane with us, whose son is 8 weeks old, and he brings in pictures of his son, to show his coworkers, some of whom have declined to look at the pictures because they're busy. And you want them to be compelled to look at these pictures because you feel this boy is very special. Along with that, you don't want to have to look at anybody else's pictures.
Are you talking about baby?
Yeah, baby pictures.
Well, it's not that I don't want to have to look at them, Mr. Henry. I don't want to be bothered by people who are going to show me a baby that I know I'll be disappointed by. It's not that I don't want to look at the pictures. It's fine to look at the pictures. But compared to my son, what am I supposed to say?
You can look at the picture and say, well, you know, it's a beautiful child.
Well, and I say that, you know, but I don't want to take a lot of time. Oh, gee, isn't he great? Also, a lot of these people want to hang these pictures up at work. And I am completely against that. And I have told my boss that I don't want to look at these, you know, kids staring back at me when they're nowhere, they're not as good. I manage about 14 people here at Henning at a parts company. Instead of giving them a bonus this year, after we count inventory, I'm going to give each of them, if they will accept it, I would be very proud if they would, a footprint of my son Matthew, which we're going to make in a, my wife knows the material, I don't know what it's called, but they do it in pots. And we'll say to them, here's a footprint of my son. It's going to be worth a great deal of money. Because my son, I know, is going to be leader of the free world. And if people are jealous of that, so be it. People don't want that, so be it. People hate my son because he's special, so be it. My son's going to have to put up a lot of hatred in his life. Because he is a very special boy. And people are going to be jealous of him and other stupid kids. A lot of the children of these people are calling in. I want to be in prison someday. Put there by my son, perhaps. So that's all I'm saying.
How can you be so sure that other people's kids are going to be in prison or lesser people? I just don't know how you can do that.
Not all of them. But a lot of these people that call and or that I talk to, they think their kid's so special, they want to show you. Especially grandparents don't know anything about kids. That's what I'm talking about.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. I think one more call here from Paul. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, yeah, I was just kind of curious about this fella. Dude, I hate to sound negative, but I think you've lost your mind a little bit.
Well, you know, a proud father is a rare thing. And when you find a truly proud father, people say, well, he must be crazy. You see, why is that unusual to be a proud father?
I think I may have said that wrong. You know, it's not crazy. It's down to be, you know, cool about your kids and all, but...
Have you got kids?
Yes, I do. I have one. He's 6.5 months, but I really...
All right,
really
so...
Wouldn't think like that. I mean,
maybe the boy's not that special. You see, I think the way I do because I've got a very, very special child.
Well, you might want to give this kid a chance before you...
If you see my child...
About it.
Yeah, but see, if you think I'm funny because your son may be just average...
Well, no, son, I don't think you're funny.
Okay, well,
you may be wrong, but you might want to give this little fella a chance before you make all these accusations and stuff, and then...
Okay, does your son give you hand signals? Does your son give you hand signals about what his plans are?
I'm sorry?
Does your son give you hand signals about what his plans are? Okay, he doesn't, right?
Dude.
Yeah,
no,
of course
no
not.
Way.
Of course not.
Is just enjoying and taking it all in. And
there you go, man.
Loving life.
That's cool. But my son does, so I have to be very, you know, I'm in other words, I'm the guardian of a very special kid.
Oh, man. Well, yeah.
So, in other words, everybody else thinks that you're a little goofy, Mr. Lane, because they don't have kids like yours. Is that it?
Yes, sir. That's exactly it. Yeah.
No. The young lady that was just on, I think she's a grandmother.
Yes, sir.
That your son is not as special as yours?
People don't understand me because, look, Brenda Carroll, who's one of our receptionists, she's a wonderful lady. She brought her baby to work one day to show the staff, and I had to ask her to get the baby out of there. I didn't want it in there because it was so hard to see a baby who's such an underachieving child and, had, like I said, had the dead look.
Oh, man.
I just told her, get it out of here. I can't have it here.
Wait a minute, man.
They're just babies, man.
That's the whole thing. You don't understand.
In other words, what do you got, Superman's son or something? You're knitting him a cape? I mean,
no, Mr. Henry, I'm not knitting anybody a cape.
Well, you're saying everybody else's kid, sure, they don't get you because your kid is, like, way out there.
Okay, I'm going to ask this man, Paul. Does your son give you hand signals?
Hand signals.
Well, he's
trying to keep his balance at the second, just trying to get his self ready to go.
I'll tell you right now, if your son was truly as special as mine, giving out hand signals you know, certain codes and everything.
What do you mean codes, man? How about if your kid flipped you off? You figured out a hand signal?
Hey, you know what? I expect that coming from, you know, a man whose kids are probably not that all that special.
You want to know something, Paul?
Yeah.
My kids probably aren't all that special. I bet you your kid does become president of the United States.
By the time my kid gets older, it probably won't be United States as we know it.
Oh, there you go. That's nice thinking.
Well,
Jesus, boy, talk about giving a kid a chance.
All right, listen. Paul, thank you for calling. Let me get another call here. Mike, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Paul Lane. Mike? Go ahead.
This guy's kid does not have a chance. I brought my son
to work, and he gave me a facial direction. And when I looked over to where he was directing me, I noticed a small fire in a waste paper basket. Can you tell me that an 8-week-old child that you know about can do that?
Your son does not have a chance. You're putting too much stress on this kid.
Are you telling me your kid...
responsibility.
What do you mean the kid gave you a facial direction?
He nodded in a certain direction, and I looked. I had the baby in my hands. He looked at me, and then he nodded his head over to the left. And I looked out, and I saw a waste paper fire basket, or a fire in a waste paper basket going. Okay, so I know that blows your mind, but...
Yeah, it blows my mind. Is the caller still there? No? Hello?
Hello.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
This guy doesn't have nothing to say because he's all his mind's blown about how good my kid is.
No, this guy's kid doesn't have a chance to make it in this world with somebody putting that much stress and that much responsibility on him.
I'm just following what the kid wants.
You don't know what the kid wants. The kid wants you to wipe his mouth and change his diapers.
Your kid, yeah. Your kid. I can understand that. My kid, more. My kid indicated a fire in a waste paper basket. Can your kid do that? I don't think so. See what
Man,
I'm saying?
There's a lot more important stuff that needs to be on the radio other than you.
Well, you know something, sir? I'd expect you to say that if you don't have no kid that's special and can point out waste paper basket fires.
My kids are special. My nephews and nieces are all special.
Have they ever alerted you to a fire when they were 8 weeks old?
I don't know
Everybody thinks I'm crazy because my kid's that much. That's my kid's so good like that.
No, everybody thinks you're crazy because you have so little respect for everybody.
I respect everyone. I just would rather you not look at pictures of your kid. That's all.
You don't even respect your kid.
I love my kid, and I'm trying to be the caretaker of a very special child who has given me directives.
Let me ask you this.
Yes, sir.
What do you mean directives? Is this kid telling you how he wants to be raised? Is he?
My son Matthew has indicated to me. I don't know if you're familiar with a film called Village of the Damned. These were young people who had accelerated IQs. I believe my son has an accelerated IQ. Yes, sir. And the only thing this gentleman's nieces and nephews alerted him to is the fact they missed their pants, and that's why he doesn't get me. He doesn't understand me.
No, I'm just wondering.
Think about messing his pants. My kid's putting out fires.
All right, look, we got to move on here. 1-800-449-8686. Jenny, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi.
Hi, Jenny.
I want to know.
By the way, let me just recap. Mr. Lane believes that his son, his newborn eight-week-old son, is so special that all other pictures of anybody else's babies he doesn't want to even look at. Go ahead, Jenny.
Do you think that you're as special as your son, that you're even capable of judging whether or not people are worthy of looking at pictures of your son?
Well, I can tell you this, ma'am, that I'm a descendant from Confederate General James Longstreet, who was at the Gettysburg situation.
So you think you're as special as your own son?
And my wife is descended from Jim Bowie, who was at the Alamo.
Did your father promote your greatness like you're promoting your son's greatness?
I think that. In many ways, I could have been had my father, you know, my father left when I was very young.
So he didn't do that.
And
he didn't actively shove your child's picture in people that he deemed worthy to look at these pictures.
I can tell you
you were going to be a president and that you had psychic powers and so forth and so on.
I can tell you this, that I'm a very special father, so I've recognized these things in my son.
Okay, well...
That's all I'm saying. I'm not trying to say I'm better than anybody else.
You know, that you're extremely arrogant, and what I want to know is, one of the things I want to know is, Have you achieved any kind of greatness since you're obviously as great as your son and as great as your father was? I mean, what's your great right thing.
My role is my role, ma'am. I could tell you're angry, and that's okay. If your kid's not all that great, that's the way it goes.
I'm not telling you whether or not I have any kids.
Well, I
or
can,
if I do, because
I can tell you do, and I can tell
unless
you
unless you're psychic or something.
No, ma'am.
Maybe
but
I do, and maybe I don't.
No, ma'am.
I don't think that you're worthy of knowing whether or not I have any children.
Ma'am, I can tell you, you do have children, and they're probably not all that special.
It's very offensive that you are telling all these other people that their child, you know, are dead and all that.
No, ma'am, I did not say that. I said their children look dead. I'm not saying they're dead. I said they had a dead look to their faces. And
well, don't you understand, sir, that as special as your child is to you, perhaps their children are as special to them, right?
No, the last guy I just talked to knows his kids are idiots. Well, he didn't say idiots, but he says he knows they're just like, you know, they're going to grow up to be grease monkeys or something.
Well, the other thing, too, is that
my baby Matthew and I have had a conversation about the war in Iraq. Well, I'm sorry?
The other thing, too, is your child is never going to be able to achieve anything great because of the way that you're promoting your son, and those feelings of negativity that all these people are going to have towards you.
Ma'am, they nailed Jesus to a cross. So we know what we do with special people in this world, okay?
Well,
we know that there's going to be
if you kept this to your own little secret and kept it to yourself, then you would be helping your child to achieve.
Well, what if Jesus kept it a secret?
Greatness.
But Jesus didn't keep it a secret. He said, I'm about my Father's work.
Well, we're not talking about Jesus here, okay? We're talking
but
about your kid.
Mary, Jesus' mother, never told other people that their children looked like they were dead and told other people that she didn't want to see their children because
ma'am,
her son was so special.
You have children. They most probably look dead, and that's why you're mad.
That's what you say. But
well,
I wouldn't tell you because I don't think that you're worth it.
You're afraid. You're afraid.
I have a great lineage in my family, too. I have royalty on my side of my family.
No, I got American.
My husband.
I got Americans on my side.
Has, Confederacy blood in him, too. But we don't go around thinking that our children or anybody else's children or...
Well, ma'am, having Confederacy blood...
...are better than other people's
you
children.
Do not have Confederacy blood if you have slave blood. That's not the same, even though there's nothing against slaves, okay? Because your husband's black or what have you.
I have slave blood.
Well, you said I doubt seriously if you got any general blood in you. I got General Longstreet blood. You probably got colonel blood or something. And the other thing, royalty, man, I wouldn't be descended from royals. I'd rather cut my things off than have my babies have blood from royalty. So I would just simply say this. My son can communicate with me by facial direction that he's disappointed with Spain for pulling their troops out of Iraq.
I think you need professional.
Did you just tell me that your son indicated to you that he wants the he disagrees with Spain's idea to remove their troops from Iraq?
Yes, sir. That's what I'm trying to say. That's what I'm trying to say. And you people
you're
are just
crazy. You're hearing things, is what it is. And you
No. I didn't hear him say anything.
Go to a doctor.
He did it by his hand signals.
Well, what did he do?
He pointed to a certain story in the newspaper.
Delusional.
No, ma'am. He pointed to the Spain is pulling her troops out story and went, like that. That was like, man, that's a drag. Don't do that. Don't do it, Spain, whatever you do.
That's just a baby pointing at something and going, yeah. That's what kids do, man.
Now, you people are flipped.
No, you're
crazy.
You need to go to
a doctor.
Get out of the bathtub and have someone drive you to the nearest mental hospital and check
you know what?
Yourself
why don't
in.
You come over here? You give me a ride over there, and then I'll switch places with you, and I'll drive you to the nut house.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
You're just jealous because I'm having a bath.
Well, it's a good thing you're having a bath, sir.
Thank you. He told me, my baby told me to vote for Bush by sticking his finger at his belly button and burping up formula.
Get him out of here before I go crazy. Paul Lane on why his baby's special. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Talk Radio's Speed Trap. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Hey, they got an opening for the president's job over at Hamas. If you're interested, I can give you the number. every guy that gets elected to that job or selected for that job or applies for that job and is eventually placed in that job, he winds up all in pieces. He winds up all in a heap. It must be a tough gig, man. They just all fall to pieces. Wow. Man, they didn't waste any time on this guy, this Rantisi. This is the cat that said that he would be proud if he had a son that was, I guess, stupid to make him a suicide bomber. Wasn't that it? No, he had a son who is a medical student, so he doesn't qualify to be a suicide bomber because he's one of the kids that's special.
Yeah, his son wanted to be a martyr.
Yeah, but he said, no. Let a poor man's son do that. Let some dumbass street urchin do that. In other words, he's like most fathers. You go to college. You go on and become a great man. Well, guess what? I guess his son may go on to become a great man, but this guy, Rantisi, who himself was a doctor. He was a pediatrician. Can you imagine what kind of, I don't know, at what point in your life were you dropped on your head on hard concrete? At what point in his life did he drop one too many tabs of acid to be not only a pediatrician, but a guy that heartily endorses kids strapping bombs to themselves and blowing themselves to bits? I bet you if this guy Rantisi had been alive during World War II, he would have been one of Joseph Mengele's most trusted assistants. He would have really dug the experiments they did on the twins, especially the kids. That's the kind of pediatrician he is. Or was. By the way, they showed him being carried through the streets of Palestine. Now, you can't tell me there's a whole body underneath that big light. See, they got the head. There's just like the face. I think they did, and the rest are just pillows. They just packed that thing full of pillows and newspaper and kind of shaped it like a body, and he's just being... Because what they did to the old man, Yasin, oh boy, did you see those pictures? That was nice. Like half of his head and everything else looked like stewing beef. So I guess he's done. So who's next? Anybody else want to step up to the plate? You ain't going to live for much. I guess the life expectancy of that gig now is about 6-7 weeks. Nice going, Israel. You know, the guy said it. Nobody wants to believe it, but the guy said it very clearly. He says, look, we're in a part of the world where defending yourself means you have to preemptively strike. It's no longer a matter of being provoked. We're not waiting for the next one to come over the border and blow themselves up in a nursery or in a beauty salon or in a grocery store and kill 6, 7, 8, 20, 50 more people, okay? We're going over and we're getting the job done ourselves, and this is just the way it's going to be. The reason why the Palestinian people live the way they live today is because of guys like Rantisi and Yasser Arafat. Period. End of freaking story. And Abdul Nasser and Assad and the rest of the guys that run that part of the Arab world. The Palestinian people can look at them and say with complete assurance, you're the ones that put us where we are today, not the Israelis, not the Jews. But you know what? There's so many people in the occupied territories of Palestinian origin that are dumb, they don't get it. Oh, I'm out of time. Speaking of dumb.
This is the Phil Henry Show.
So my wife and son got back from upstate New York yesterday, and they had a ball. They visited the great university there at Syracuse. I mentioned my eldest son got accepted both to Syracuse and USC, and I'm not saying this to pump myself up, puff myself up as a potential Trojan dad or Syracuse dad. We're just very proud of him. In fact, on a poignant note, on a romantic note, I went out yesterday and I bought my wife three pairs of shoes. I got her a pair of Uggs and I got a pair of these shoes. I don't know. The women in the audience know what I'm talking about, but they're kind of these cool slip-on deals with no heel, Janice.
Mule.
Yeah, I got her a pair of them and another one that they look like Dutch boy shoes, but she dug them. So anyway, they're for your back. I don't know. But I bought them, and I got her a card, and in the card I said, thank you on behalf of the human race. I'm Phil, your husband, but I'm also now representing the entire human race. Thank you for putting into the world four human beings that may actually contribute something, as opposed to suck, you know, the life out of it. Because just like the last hour, we're talking about, you know, Mr. Lane was on talking about his kid. He just thinks the kid's going to be the greatest thing since canned beer. The kid's going to be the leader of the free world. Yeah, well, we'll see about that. I really don't think people should be allowed to bring their baby pictures to work until the kid turns 18 and is admitted to a decent college or has some kind of a life plan that doesn't include jacking cars and stereos. Then we can all say, congratulations, good job. Until then, I think every parent in America is on serious probation. Serious probation. So I gave her a note and a little card that I bought over there at the drugstore. You know what I don't dig? Have you ever seen these cards they got now? They're really beautifully written. Darling, there were times when you and I had arguments. So it's a big, long thing, right? Okay, and you know, boy, sometimes it really expresses it. Then at the very end, it'll say, written by Bob Sloan. And I want to, wait a second, it's from me, it ain't from Bob Sloan. If you're going to put them poems in those cards, don't write the guy's name down there. So I wrote down, I crossed out his name, and I wrote down Dick Weed.
FCC.
Is that,
Yeah.
Okay. Just checking. You know, you find those nice little cards, because she used to give them to me, and God, I want to cry. They're so beautiful. We've been together through many times, and all of this beautiful stuff. Signed, Clarence Fitzgerald. And who knows who he is? He works as a carny during the week, and then they, you know, at home he emails in card lyrics just to see if he can make another $50 on that. And then he's got another job, you know, he pours cement. So he's a man. He's a man about town. So I got this card. I said, thank you on behalf of the human race for actually putting decent human beings out into the planet Earth. And maybe, who knows, they'll wind up bringing something to the table. You know what I'm saying? You know, isn't that what it is? Isn't that what it's about when you have kids? What would you say if I asked you, what's the goal of having children? Is it to, A, make sure that they're just happy and that they're just happy at what they do with their life? Or B, to produce worthy human beings that can actually contribute something to life. See, I think it's B. Now, maybe I'm not saying you're wrong if you're the kind of parent who says, and many do, I just want my kid to be happy. Whatever they're happy at, I want to be happy. But I just disagree with that, man. I just think the reason to have a kid is to restock the planet with some worthy souls that can actually start kicking a little ass out there and moving the human race forward as opposed to holding it back. That's all. Like, look at Osama bin Laden, for instance. His old man had 943 kids by 68 wives. And if you look at pictures of Osama when he was a kid, do you ever see that one famous picture of him with his relatives in Sweden? Like 1971, he's got on the airplane collars, he's got the little monkey's haircut with the little bell bottoms. He looks just like a kid, you know? Looks like he's having fun. But somewhere along the line, the old man, because he wanted to be proud of his 800 kids, because it's some kind of a manhood thing for those guys over there. He had so many kids, he didn't know what to do. He lived in a shoe. No, he had so many kids, he couldn't stay. How do you stay close to 800 kids? Well, I'm going to spend some time with a kid. 800 of them? What are you going to do? You going to rent buses? What are you talking? I just want to spend time with my children. And well, you're going to have to do, I don't know what, you're going to rent out an auditorium and a bullhorn.
Hi, kids. I figure we could have a little alone time. Time. So, let's play.
Anyway, imagine the smell in the back of the car on vacation. Yeah. So, I said, thanks a lot, baby. Thanks a lot. So she bawled, as she usually does when she gets presents. And I said to my son, so what's it going to be? It's probably going to be SC, huh? No, I've made my mind up. Yeah, bull crap. You're going to pick SC. You're going to go to the USC, because that's where everybody in California knows. My wife tells her friends that my son got admitted to USC, and she says the hair stands up on their arms. Now, that's sexual, isn't it? That's sick. Do you know the back east, they wouldn't know USC from Moore Park College. They think it's some kind of a commuter school. Honest to God, they don't. One of my friends in New York, David Katz, who graduated from Syracuse, says, USC, I've heard of it, but they don't even have fraternities there, right? I said, no, it's a pretty big school. It's as big as Syracuse is back there. I said, well, Syracuse, that's a school. So you see the bi-coastal thing, you see? It's a bi-coastal thing, see? East Coast, West Coast, that kind of thing. You know, and all of that. So anyway, but when they were in New York, I wanted to make this point, and then I won't bother you anymore with personal family business. But they stayed at the W Hotel there on Times Square, and I want to thank the guys at the W. We've stayed there many times. This is not a commercial plug. I just like to mention solid businesses when they do solid business, as well as mention people that don't. And the guys at the W Hotel, they're the sweetest people. I love their hotel. I know it looks freaky. The walls are painted black. They got water on the ceiling. The whole place is just, it's nuts. But it's a great place, and they treat you great. And I just want to make one suggestion to you guys at the W. First of all, every human, I'm just talking to you cats at the W and your association with Starwood. Every human being in America has a Starwood preferred guest card. It's nothing special. And when you call them up, my wife says to me, make a reservation for us for Saturday night. I call them up. Yes, I'd like to make a reservation. Well, they're all sold out. Well, my wife just talked to them this morning. They said they had availability. Well, no, your wife isn't even in that hotel. Yes, she most certainly is. No, she's not. Yes, she is. No, she's got a reservation to Lexington. She changed it from the Lexington over to the W in Times Square. Oh, yes, now I see that. Well, I said, yeah, forget it. So then I call again. I got another one. I said, hi. And they answer this.
Starwood Resort.
Listen, I'm trying to get a reservation for my wife at the W Hotel in Times Square. And, well, she's already reserved there, sir. No, she's not. Yes, she is. She has a reservation there. No, she doesn't. Yes, she does. Are you talking about Lexington? Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay, that's number two, operator. Finally, I called the W themselves. And just to show you, I'm not a hard-hearted man, as the producer in Godfather said, I spoke to a very nice gentleman, the manager of the hotel, Mr. Abdullah. Great guy. He said, don't worry about it, Mr. Henry. As soon as they check in, we'll grab them, grab your wife by her rear end and lead them all the way up to their rooms. Everything is going to be a beautiful thing. We'll give them free underwear and cocktails. I said, thank you. He took care of them. So I just wanted to, do a shout out to them and to the entire city of New York. What a great thing. They went and saw that new Billy Joel play, Moving Out. It's got all of Billy Joel's music in it. And, I personally was never a huge fan of Billy Joel's, but I guess he's big time back east. Huge in Miami. I remember that. I remember I went and saw Billy Joel and Elton John down at the Pro Player Stadium. It was a pretty good show, but I just never dug that whole still rock and roll to me, and that we didn't start the fire. He just, read a newspaper and write the lyrics. But they said it was good, so I'm willing to believe them. And then I think they also saw The Lion King, which I think is a little gay to take your 18-year-old son to. But, and then they went up to Carnegie Deli. They had that huge Reuben sandwich, which is about 6 stories high and about 8 miles wide, and dug the whole thing. So they're back, and he really loved Syracuse. He's really impressed with it, and he's probably going to go to SC. I guarantee it. Why? Because kids want to hang out with their friends. Kids don't want to go anywhere weird. They want to hang with their buddies, and that's where the buddies are going. Now, the question is, can I afford it? And the answer to that is an unequivocal, I don't know. Who can afford $30,000 a year? And what other job am I going to take? When I'm going to moonlight at a gas station? I get off the air at 10:30. I can't afford that. There isn't any chance in hell he's going to SC. He's going to Pierce College in the Valley, and he's gonna sit there and take anthropology for Mr. Hall for a semester, and then go do construction work, just like I did. 1-800-449-8686. So how about that, huh? Kids going into college. It's just I can't wait for them to leave. No, I'm kidding. It'll be kind of heartbreaking. All right, and our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com. Now, if you enjoyed that rap, wait till you hear what I got to say about SBC. Our phone carrier. That's coming up on the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I'm just going to ease into this week. I'm just easing slow into this week. I don't care. It has been, my wife's, as I mentioned, been out of town, so I've spent time with my know, my daughter, this is an important, I feel it's an important thing. Like I just got a sense I better start spending time with her because, you know, within a 2-year period, she's going to think that I'm the Antichrist. And she's a kid that wants lots and lots of attention. So I've spent the last 5 days taking her to her friend's house for sleepovers, going to Chuck E. Cheese, going off to golf and stuff. And what else? Watching, not just Rugrats, but some very specific, Powder Puff Girls, is that still going? There's a couple of very specific, Hillary Duff, and then, of course, listening to Kiss FM and arguing with her about, no, that ain't Hillary Duff, that's Britney.
No, that's Hillary Duff, ain't Britney.
Okay, well, that's Jessica Simpson. No, I said, all right, well, that guy sounds gay.
You're right about that, it's Justin Timberlake.
Okay, thank you. And, of course, then we get into this whole rap about Jessica Simpson. Is the fact that she's an imbecile, is that any reason not to like her? And the answer, of course, is no. That's not any reason. She is an idiot. By the way, Jessica Simpson is rated the hottest chick on the planet Earth by Maxim, or was it FHM? Maxim. Okay, Maxim's got this bitch at number one. FHM has got Britney Spears as the hottest thing that has ever tried to get your shorts off. Here we go, Maxim. Jessica Simpson. Now, let me explain to a lot of my young male friends. A, this is why you guys are going to wind up miserable when you get married, because that's what you think is hot. I ain't saying she's not beautiful. With all that makeup on. Dun, dun, dun. You see, gentlemen, I have to let you know something. Just by virtue of what I do for a living, I've seen some of these people up close and in, shall we say, not the most flattering light. I'm not saying I know them intimately. I'm saying I've seen some of these women just dressed to go down and have a beer, let's say. And I hate to tell you this, because you're not going to believe me, but your old lady, your wife, your girlfriend probably looks better. Most probably looks better. I ain't kidding. Forget the plastic surgery. We know they've all had that. But up close in the ultra-harsh light of this studio, it ain't all that, man. I ain't kidding you.
What are you talking about? Jesse Simpson's the hottest thing.
Well, okay. Look, you want a dummy? You want some dumb blonde who is going to just suck the life right out of you? And I ain't talking about that, man. Yeah, that'll last about 6 months to a year. But then when I say life, I do mean life. Dumb, self-absorbed, beautiful and knows it, and you know something? You're going to be ready to commit homicide in 3 years. You want to know why those guys take shotguns? Because these losers, you know, that guy that married Dorothy Stratton, that piece of work from your hometown, Janice, Vancouver. What was that a guy? That Paul Schneider guy that killed Dorothy Stratton? She was the Playboy centerfold. He couldn't handle the fact that other men wanted her. And he never really got the fact that, you know, maybe he was hooked up with somebody smarter than him. So whatever, these guys, they don't understand these women. They wind up having their guts ripped out, and the next thing you know, they're popping handfuls of tranquilizers, just bottle after bottle of Xanax and whatever else they can get their hands on. What's the new tranquilizer now? What is it? Hot milk? What are you talking about? Beyonce Knowles, number two. I agree with that. Christina. See, now, Maxim, this is why this is the hottest-selling magazine among men 25-54, because Christina Aguilera is a bona fide hot woman. Hot chick, hot biatch, hot beezich, hot bitch. She's hot. She's talented. She actually can write a song now and again. She can actually produce music. Every now and again, she actually, you know, oversees elements of her career. She's not just some dumbass. I mean, not that she'd have anything to do with you guys or me, but let's just say that we can dream. Then you got Jennifer Lopez. That chick is so done, it's not even funny. Enough already with her. And a whole bunch of other babes. Paris Hilton's there at number 8. Halle Berry at number 10. But honest to goodness, if you saw Halle Berry with no makeup on, just standing there out on the street hitchhiking, you'd drive right by, well, maybe not. If you saw Paris Hilton standing out there in just a skin-tight silk cocktail dress with spike heels and a suitcase hitchhiking on Hollywood Boulevard, you'd drive right by. All right, so that's Maxim. That's who they think is number one. Jessica Simpson, who's number one at FHM? Britney Spears. That's why this magazine, FHM, is just a little off. Britney Spears was last year, guys. Don't you get it? I understand that she's now doing all the good girl turned bad stuff. But to be quite frank, she ain't going to age all that well, man. Get a look at that puss on her, okay? Well, not that you can't stick a bag or two on top of it. But the fact remains, she's going to look something. She's going to look like Carol Channing in about 5 years. Moving along to number two, Angelina Jolie, who's hot, and I guess she's pretty, you know, aware of it. Number three, number four is Jennifer Garner. Sorry. No, man. Not with that face. And number nine, Pamela Anderson. Nah, I'd throw out of bed. Anyway, why the hell am I getting on this? What? I wasn't even talking about this. We're going to talk about SBC and how they're... I don't want to tell you what I want to say about SBC. Anyway, check it out. Maxim's top 100 chicks that'll just absolutely leave you bloodied and beaten on the pavement, man, as they move on to man number 800. Jessica Simpson. I remember when this kid came out, I thought this has got to be some kind of a gag. Everybody knows it's either Christina and that other chick, what's her face? Spears. Then along comes this girl with a name like it's the most, other than OJ, it's got to be the most blasé name you could possibly, Bart Simpson. I mean, give yourself a little Hispanic, Jessica, you know, Escobar or something. Aguilera, I don't know. She comes out with the boyfriend, Nick Lachey. And he used to be in a boy band, didn't he? And then she's got that, I love that reality show. She's the dumbest thing that's ever come down the pike, man. She's stupider than a bag full of hammers. She doesn't know how to make a pancake. I don't even think she knows how to wipe herself properly, although they haven't shown that yet. And then, on top of everything else, her music came on, and I can't tell the difference between her, Hillary Duff, and the other chick, Britney. It's completely now shot. And you notice how this entire generation of male singers were completely and exclusively influenced by who? Who do you think is the main influence of every male pop singer today? Michael freaking Jackson. They sound like him. Many of them are attempting to look like him. Or maybe Michael's trying to look like them because they're all white. Michael Jackson. Thank you and good night. All right, 1-800-449-8686. All right, we're going to get back to the serious news of the day. SBC, that's right, the Southern Bell Corporation, and the communication that I've had with them about getting a DSL line to my house. Now, you're going to find this interesting. Do you remember a while back when I said the L.A. Daily News couldn't get their newspaper to my house? They didn't know how to deliver it, and when I mentioned it on the air, they called me or they emailed me specifically to say, oh, Mr. Hendry, well, coming up, we'll talk about SBC. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
First of all, I want to say that I'm very, very grateful to the very, very nice people at SBC for contacting me last week and asking if they could work with me on solving the DSL problems that my family has. Now, to recap, I live in a very remote area. It ain't like I live out in Death Valley, but I'm in a place that's just past where the equipment radius, if you will, or the equipment range is for direct satellite. What does DSL stand for? Direct satellite link? Or direct something link? Anyway, DSL is that fast, cool, that really fast, cool internet access as opposed to that slow dial-up modem crap, right? Which we got dial-up. And the phone service out where we live, hum on the line, hiss on the line. I can't even begin to talk to you about it because I'll just break down and weep. And, you know, I'm a grown man. I don't want to cry in front of a lot of strangers or, you know, new listeners. So I said, well, okay, let's try and get this DSL. Nah, can't do it. How about over that T1 action? Nope, can't do it. No. We talked to Earthlink. We talked to AT&T. We talked to, is SBC and AT&T, they're all hooked. They're the same thing. Digital subscriber line, I'm told, is what DSL stands for. We talked to a lot of like wholesalers, people, the middlemen, and the first man, and then the third man, and the guy on the left, and the guy on the right, and the guy sandwiched in between. We talked to all of them. No, no, no. Even after their ads, you always love it. We can get you, no matter where you live, we can get you. Sure you can, Ace. Well, this is where I live. Sorry, I guess we can't get you. Well, then why do you say that you can? So then along comes satellite. Not DirecTV. We went with a company called Starband. I've got two dishes in my backyard trying to get satellite internet access. Now, we have in our house, I don't know how many computers you got in your home. My two eldest sons use their computers, they say, for their homework. Yeah, right, sure. By the way, I've told them, you know, your mother and I reserve the right to go into your history and see what porn sites you're, I mean, to see what you guys have been doing. And they're, well, I'm cool with that. Everything's copacetic, man. Everything's beautiful. Yeah, huh. I bet you I go into that. You get out of here. I think those cats are bluffing me. They're looking me right in the face and going, yeah, come on up right now. You can check my computer right now. You, boy, if I did, because you know what they'll do is I'll get on there and I'll find youngandpink.com and go, I didn't know what that was, man. I thought it was a Pink fan club. My, get out of here. So, and they know how to clear that history out, too. But here's the, by the way, thank you for reminding me of that, Chris. Fact is, if I go into their history and I only find two things, then I'm going to know those cats were in there cleaning it up. Oh, yeah, huh? You've been on your computer every night for the last 18 years, and, like, you visited two sites, MotherTeresa.com and HowToMaintainYourVirginity.org for orgasm. Yeah, I just always go to the Mother Teresa site. It's all I ever really want to do. Oh, you're such a good son, you lying sack. All right. They're good kids. They are. In fact, if they weren't trying to hit porn sites, I think they were sick and I think there was something wrong with them, honestly. I busted one of them. But anyway, I digress. So we got the Starband. Now, my second oldest, he's down there. He's trying to wire stuff up. He's got antennas. He's got a direction finder. He has every kind of equipment. He's gone off the Best Buy to Circuit City to buy other equipment and other equipment. My God, we've got more stuff. And it still crashes. And my wife still can't. And I don't have it at all. And the guys upstairs, they don't have it. They have to hardwire into it. And the only one who's got it directly from the satellite dish is my wife, and she says it's crashing every 5 seconds. That's Starband. So I get on the air last week, and I start screaming about this, saying, you know, you have to understand something, that computer internet access is almost a utility. And I believe there is some law that states you are to provide utilities that everybody else has access to, or you're liable for a lawsuit. I mean, and quite frankly, if the guy across the street is telecommuting on his computer and I got to get in my car, a car, and go into the office, that seems to be an unfair advantage. And I just want to have the ability to have, for instance, like running water. You know, the guy across the street's got running water and I'm carrying buckets down to a river. Is that cool?
Well, you got water, don't you? What difference does it make?
I'd rather have it piped into the house, if you don't mind. Same way to the guy across the street. Now, all of a sudden, guess what? After years and years and years, oh, well, I get an email from SBC. Dear Mr. Henry, we'd love to help you solve your problems and all this. I'm not trying to be a smartass. They're very nice people and very respectful people. They also got on the phone with my son, Alex. And I told Alex, I can't deal with them yet until we get this Starband thing situated. And then they called the house, and I talked to them, and the lady had another couple of guys, and they were all ready to conference in a whole big thing for me. And do you want to know why? Because I got a radio show. Because I said something about it on the radio, they responded. And as I said, they're very nice people. But the question I got to ask is, what happens to the average guy out here who don't have no radio show? You see what I'm saying? So if I got to get on the radio and scream about it because for at least 2 years I haven't been able to get any kind of internet access, and all of a sudden because I got a radio show, I get not one, not two, I got three people calling me from SBC, that's great. But the average guy out there is getting the treatment that I got for 3 years. This is what bothers me. And again, it's not to impugn the individuals involved. It's the corporate mentality. They care more about bad publicity than they do about actually providing good service. So as long as they provide crap service and nobody talks about it and they can keep it under wraps and save themselves some money, then they'll continue to do that. But the minute that the crappy service becomes public, though, man, I got to shut that up. And in the hopes that they provide me with good service, maybe I'll get on the radio and start singing their praises. I don't do that. Like the W Hotel. They didn't ask me. They don't even know who the hell I am. But I happen to like their hotel, so I talk about it. Because they treat my wife well. They treated my son well. They took care of them while they were there. And I appreciate the hell out of that. They went out of their way to do something nice. They didn't know me from the freaking little Martian on a Bugs Bunny cartoon. They would have thought that I was that little guy walking around going,
"It is the disintegrator," or whatever the hell a guy said.
Oh, man. I told you, I'm easing in slow on this week, baby. Just don't even expect any fireworks here. I'm just giving you... Oh, Marvin the Martian, yeah. I'm just giving you the slow details of my life. And if it's something that is, quite frankly, not your cup of tea, adios. I'll see you tomorrow night, same time. You missed too many of the Phil Hendry shows, though, and you're going to be missing a lot, baby. You know that that's the fact, Jack. So don't be stay away too long. Anyway... These guys call me up and tell me, well, yeah, we'd like to do it. And I appreciate that, and I'm supposed to talk to them this week. Now, I'm sure that when I talk to them this week, I may get something like, "And we heard what you said about us." And it's totally understandable, Mr. Hendry. But you have to understand, sometimes things fall through the cracks. That's the famous thing they like to say. Oh, my God, I just looked up and looked at the, and there's Sean Penn. Actor activist is what they're being. Oh, is this him in Baghdad? Why is this cat back? Is he being interviewed on the Forehead O'Reilly show? Is Forehead Boy got him on? Oh, my God. Comb your hair, Pan, okay? Comb your bloody hair, man. And quit trying to come off like you're Dylan freaking Thomas. In any event, so I'm probably going to get this. But the slob out there who calls and gets put on hold for 20 minutes... who talks to somebody who misplaces their order, who talks to somebody who doesn't write down the right time and doesn't give you the right time, so you're sitting there waiting for a telephone guy to get there at 10 o'clock, and he doesn't get there till 4, and when you say to him, "You were supposed to be here at 10, he goes, "No, I got 4 in the order," and no one cares. When you call up the guy and say, "Would you please come and fix a malfunction with my phone?" And they come and they do something and they go, "Well, it ought to be fixed now." And you pick it up and it's fine. And then the guy leaves not 30 seconds and it's back again. And then to get him back, you can't just flag him down. You can't just drive and say, "Please, would you come back?" Nope, got to call the office, make another appointment, be another 3 weeks out. Going to have to give us a window of 18 hours. We'll be there sometime between May 3rd and the beginning of the year. Is that all right with you? No, it's not, man. I got a job. Well, you know, that's all we can do for you. I got a job, man. I got kids. I got to pick people up. Nah, that's how the average guy gets treated by the phone company. It hasn't changed in years. We used to have a company no longer exists called GTE. You don't know about them, Janice. GTE wasn't a phone company. It was a Dixie cup with a knitting thread. Their equipment was lousy. Their service was lousy. They knew how to get those bills out on time, though, man. They generated those bills every month, right at the same day. And if you didn't pay it, boy, you'd get what passed for their service. You'd get it disconnected. You know, try to get a new phone put in. Try to get a new system installed. Literally, it's weeks before you're able to say, "I have phone service." Now, in the middle of all of that, folks, you should know that I'm getting a little preferred treatment from the phone company because I got a radio show, and I appreciate that, and I will take their entreaties. I will take their phone call, and I will talk to them. I'd be crazy not to. But I will tell you this much. I'm fully aware of the fact that the rest of you guys don't get that kind of treatment. And I think the phone company ought to start getting with it a little bit. Get with a program. Start hiring some people, number one, that know how to take down an order, got the right time on there, the right address, the right day, everything else. And also, hire some people that understand that they're going to be talking to people who are in a serious situation. They need phone service. They have jobs, so they're in a very stressful situation. They can't necessarily be home when your technician, after he shoves a ham sandwich into his big dumb face, decides he's going to come out there. Do you understand? They got to go to their job. They got to come home. They got to pick up kids, and they can't necessarily be there when the phone man's going to be there. On top of that, you got a lot of one-parent homes. They don't have a nanny and all this other crap. You understand the stress that these people are under, that when they call a phone company and they say, look, you said you were going to be, and then you've got some smart ass on the other line answering the phone for the phone company, some chick who's about 20, 21, maybe she's African-American, and that means maybe she's got a little bit of a chip on her shoulder. I'm sorry, but that happens. Sometimes your younger African-American female, who's been pushed around her whole life, she's got now the power base, okay? And she can tell the white folks that call in, or anybody for that matter, where they can and can't go and how that's going to be. And if they don't like the tone of your voice, then they hang up on you. And now you're back to square one, trying to get yourself some phone service. All of this because why? Because you're at the mercy of this entity called the phone company, which when they damn well feel like building equipment to get you your DSL or T1 service, they will. Now, having said everything that I've said, I wouldn't be surprised if SBC didn't call me on Thursday. They just tell me if they cut my phone service, which, of course, I'll be on the air talking about that. I wouldn't be surprised. But then by the same token, I wouldn't be surprised if they did call. I don't know what kind of people I'm dealing with, because when you get right down to it, it isn't big corporations, folks. Like they like to say, it's people. People helping or hindering people. Hi, we're the phone company. Just people hindering people. 1-800-449-8686. The Best of the Phil Henry Show 2003. Double CD is on sale for $20. Two CDs for the price of one. And all of the money that we raise from the sale of the Death of Talk Radio, our 2003 CD, goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. All the proceeds. Buy it online at www.philhenryshow.com or by calling 877-616-7445.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. 2 feet shorter than models. The Phil Henry Show is back.
In a sign that maybe United States broadcasters are beginning to come together to mount a major defense against these illegal indecency fines that are being levied by the Federal Communications Commission, a coalition of more than 20 broadcasters, artists, groups, and media organizations filed on Monday a petition asking the Federal Communications Commission to reconsider a profanity ruling in the first concerted effort against what some commentators have called a new sexual McCarthyism. That's absolutely absurd. Don't start throwing that word around if you don't know what it means. McCarthyism. You know what that is? Anybody out there who uses that term, do you actually know what that means? Well, neither do I. Now, anyway, I will tell you this, though. Look. Because I can't say the S word or the MF word or the, you know, stuff like that, it doesn't necessarily mean that I'm in the middle of a McCarthyist kind of crackdown. It does mean, however, something that can be remedied very simply, as so many things can be in this country. It's like the Patriot Act. You know what? Everybody that dismisses the Patriot Act really doesn't know what the Patriot Act is. They have no idea what it's about. They have no idea that the things provided for in the Patriot Act have already been within the legal purview of law enforcement for years. When it comes to mail fraud, mafia, and things like that. But when it comes to cracking down on terrorism, it hasn't been used before, and they're now allowing federal investigators to use these broad powers that they've had against the mafia and white-collar crime for years. Do you think people understand that? No. Are you going to get them to sit down and understand it? No. Are you going to get them to... No, because it's all political, man. They don't want to understand it. They want to go on believing the Patriot Act is just, oh, my God. Oh, my God. It is the end. It's the end. Come on, Eddie. Relax, man. It's just, it's a ding on your fender. No, it's the end. All right, but what we can do very simply is remedy this by filing a lawsuit against the Federal Communications Commission. Well, the broadcasters of America haven't gotten their act together enough to do that. However, what they have done is there are a few of them that have decided they're going to join in filing this petition. The petition signed by broadcast network owners Viacom and Fox Entertainment Group, as well as the Screen Actors Guild and other groups, charges the FCC has expanded its authority beyond constitutional limits. Now, the question that I have here is my company, Clear Channel, have they signed this? I see Viacom. Viacom is also CBS. And frankly, I will say this about CBS. While they are one of the reasons why we're in this problem in the first place, at least they're backing up their talk, or they're backing up their big boobs with, I mean, they're backing it up with, you know, some action here, okay? This is what has to be done. This is a simple thing. And as I've said before, standing up for yourself is scary. It means that it's not business as usual. It means that daddy may not have a job. It means that you got to put the lease payment on the Mercedes on hold. It means that maybe you can't put the pool in. It means maybe you can't buy the house. It means a lot of things. But if you're any kind of a man and you want to stand up for your industry, then you have to do these things occasionally. You know, history reaches out and taps certain people on the shoulder. We need to stand up for our industry. And I'm just asking, and I'd like you to research this, Chris, please, if you can find out, along with Viacom and Fox, is Clear Channel a signatory to this petition challenging the FCC? Because I think that needs to be news if they are or they are not as well. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
All right, we got John Kerry saying that now he hears from the Washington Post that there's a special hidden deal between the Saudi Arabians and Bush that they will lower the price of oil sometime before the election to ensure the election of George Bush. How to Read a News Story is brought to you by Clavco Motors for all of your automotive needs. Hi, everybody. This is Phil Hendry. It's time now for How to Read a News Story. By the way, Clavco Motors doesn't exist, but it sounds cool to have a sponsor for things. And since I don't have them, I make them up. I could say, for instance, and now this bit is brought to you by Don Julio Tequila for all your tequila needs. And by Tesoro Paradiso Tequila. Two competing brands, one hell of a headache. Now, Kerry, as you well know, and if you don't, then that's cool. Go ahead and vote the any way you're going to vote, because we'll do that. But as you well know, he hasn't brought to the table any particular plan for anything to be president of the United States. He doesn't like a negative campaign. He says he wishes that the president would concentrate on the issues. But then Kerry turns around and talks about Bush and rumors about a deal with the Saudis, man, which is about the same as saying he's got Osama bin Laden hidden someplace. Are people so hard up, man, to find out stuff about Bush? I'll tell you one of the reasons why he's hard up is because the USA Today poll finds that Bush is still ahead of Kerry. He's ahead of him in every significant aspect of the polling. People believe he's better for the war on terror. People believe he's a better leader. People say they're going to vote for him. The only thing that Kerry beats Bush on, like 36-30, is his handling of the economy. But they have no idea what that means. They don't know why they think Kerry's going to do better with the economy. They just don't think Bush has done a very good job. And all that says is it says the American people don't understand why we're in a recession in the first place. They don't have a clue. They don't have a clue as to why we're in a recession in the first place, or why we're coming out of a recession, or tailing out, or whatever you want to call it. They just think that because we're in one, it's Bush's fault. and that when Kerry gets elected, it's all going to be better. They don't get that presidents have little, if anything, to do with recessions or the lack thereof. So what Kerry is doing, even though he wants to talk about the issues and he wishes Bush wouldn't run a negative campaign and wouldn't, you know, float rumors and would stick to the subject, he's just grabbed a hold of that thing about how they cut a deal with the Saudis to cut oil prices so that Bush will be reelected. Now, here's how you read that story. Bush has got the Saudis over here, and he says, what's with these oil prices? To which they say, Mr. President, the oil prices are not going to stay high for a very long time. We're going to bring them down. We decided to cut production because the pressure was there at OPEC to do so. However, we will tell you we're not threatening your supply. Well, give me a timetable. When is this thing going to happen? It'll happen probably before the end of the summer, probably before, maybe before your, you know, the election. Well, you know, I mean, if you say that it's going to be before the election, I guess that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. This is not a secret deal. This is a president talking to the major oil suppliers saying, what are you guys doing with this price of oil? It's killing me. We got inflation now for the first time as a problem, for the first time in many years. As a result, all those nice interest rates that were going down, guess what? They're climbing back up again. Now, Kerry says that he's not going to mollycoddle these oil-producing countries, that he's going to, quote, get tough with them. How is that, in my opinion, or in your opinion, or in anybody's opinion, how's that going to help us getting tough with these guys? The only way you get tough with them is by saying, we're going to come in and take over your oil fields. Now, if that's what he's talking about, I'd be more than happy to vote for John Kerry tomorrow. Because you are not going to back him down by saying, and another thing. They're just going to tell him to go take a jump in a freaking lake. What's John Kerry going to say to the Saudi Arabians to get them, oh, yes, sir, Mr. President, you're right. All along, we should have had the prices low, and you're such a big, formidable character, and you have a bronze star. Yeah, okay, we'll lower the price of oil. It ain't going to happen. Now, yeah, we can develop alternative forms of energy. I'm all in favor of that. I said it right after 9/11. Man, we got to get out of that part of the world. Well, Kerry's plan to develop alternative forms of energy, we ain't going to have cars at 36 MPG until 2015. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's 11 years from now. That's more than two terms as President of the United States. 2015. Then he says he's going to provide tax incentives for people who drive energy-saving cars and tax incentives for factories that convert to the production of energy-saving cars. So we'll become well on our way to a, you know, some kind of an energy-saving vehicle. And he said one of the things is hydrogen. Well, guess who's been talking about hydrogen cell cars? Bush. In the meantime, you got to keep the number one supplier of your oil pumping the oil. Now, you can do it one of two ways. You can stick your finger in their face and tell them how they're going to do this and they're going to do that. It doesn't get you anywhere, not in the climate of the world today, unless you want to say, hey, either you guys keep that oil at a reasonable price or we're going to put troops on the oil fields of Saudi Arabia. Like I said, I'd be completely in favor of that. If that's what Kerry's talking about, I'm all for it. But I don't think he's talking about that. I don't think John Kerry knows specifically what he means when he says he's going to get tough with these countries. How much tougher can you get than invading one of them? So what do you do? Well, in place of that, you sit down, you break bread, and you talk nice with them. And I understand, I used to say, hey, why do those Saudis over here, every time they come over here, I can smell them upwind all the way out in California. Why don't you keep those ragheads where they belong? And, you know, but I understand, Bush has got to make nice with these guys because these cats produce most of our oil. By the same token, man, we're their number one customer. But it ain't like Bush don't know that. What, Kerry's going to call him up and say, you know what you ought to do? What's that? Remind them that we're their number one customer. Oh, thanks a lot, genius. Is that the John Kerry plan there, too? You know, maybe it's a good thing that Bush's people are in the oil business. I don't know. Some people see that as nefarious. I see it as business. Do you understand what business is? Yeah, well, Bush's father knows the Saudi... Well, okay, so he knows the Saudi prince. You know, politics is the art, frankly, of being a diplomat, being diplomatic and contacting and having connections with all kinds of people. Whatever work you're in, especially if you're in the sales end of things, it's like being a politician. You got to be able to sell yourself, man, and sell your point of view. And you don't do it sometimes by shoving your finger in a guy's face and saying, and this is how you're going to do things, because he's going to tell you to go and, you know what, why don't you go have go make nice with one of your steers. They don't get it. American people don't get that. Additionally, my very good friend, Mr. Gary Trudeau from Aspen, when we met, you know, I met him out in Aspen, the guy that does Doonesbury. He's got a strip coming out, and it has a guy losing his leg in Iraq. Well, okay. You know, a writer that I'm reading right now, I'm reading a book of history, and the guy makes the following statement. If the American people want the kind of life they claim to want, if the American people want the kind of life they claim to want, you have to sometimes fight for it. Sometimes you just have to fight for it. We live at a time and in a place in history where people don't think we have to fight wars anymore. That if wars are necessary, it's something that we did wrong. That if a war is necessary, it's something that America pushed. That if a war is necessary, it's something that America caused. That if a war is necessary, it's something that it was some mistake America made 10, 20 years ago. And we shouldn't have done this, and we shouldn't have done that, and we shouldn't have done something else. Yeah, well, that's nice. We shouldn't have done a whole lot of stuff, man. We're in 2004 now. Now what do you want to do about it? Like that moron that was on that Miller show that I was on. A guy sitting there going, well, 10 years ago, what we should have done. Well, we didn't, did we? And here we are. Just as a footnote, you know this guy Richard Clark, who's got what? Does this guy have any credibility with anybody? After writing this piece about the Bush administration not taking his warnings about Al-Qaeda seriously and being completely discredited in the eyes of anybody with a third grade education, anyone who got past kindergarten, this guy has been completely discredited. Is there anyone that would really believe what this guy's got to say? Yes, Hollywood! Because they're going to make a movie out of the cat's book. Yeah, there's some cats there that buy this stuff, man. Three presidents this guy served as the anti-terrorism chief. Completely shot the job to ribbons in every single one of those presidential terms. Sat there with the President Clinton when the country was attacked four separate times, when he was the anti-terrorism chief. Then finally Bush comes along and says, you know something, Mace, I ain't going to take any meetings with you. Tenet's going to be given all the security briefings, and Condoleezza Rice is getting a promotion. I guess you're left out. So he gets his feelings hurt, and he writes a book. Well, that's what happens, you loser. That's what happens. So he writes a book, right? Now, anybody that heard what this man had to say, and anybody that knows this guy's history, and today we find out that NORAD was running drills. NORAD was running jet fighter drills, intercepting aircraft that might be used as missiles, right? Now, the Associated Press doesn't write the story to say that it might have been the Clinton administration that was running these drills and did not follow through. No, they were just left to assume that it was Bush. Over the preceding 2 years before 9/11, there was some expectation on the part of NORAD that a plane might be used as a missile. This was during the Clinton administration, but it was eventually discredited as unbelievable or not feasible. But what do we read today? Ah, the Bush administration ignored the fact. And by the way, just so I can drive a few more people crazy, all of these words are coming from Phil Henry, the Democrat. That's right. Democrat for Bush. I guarantee in 2008 I'll probably vote for a Democrat again, unless they blow it again with some other loser, but I can't, I don't know who the Republicans are going to stick up there in 2008, but I don't see anybody that's worth it. So I'll probably go Democrat, I'll probably even vote for Hillary. I think she's going to get her act together by then. I think she's got a few of her marbles are missing, but I think she's going to collect her thoughts. But until then, man, you can't tell me that anything the Democratic Party's got to say, completely discrediting itself by nominating John Kerry, a guy that hasn't got a thing to say about anything, is going to get me to vote Democrat. Although I may go and see this Richard Clark movie. Of course, I thought it was Arthur C. Clarke. As in 2001 Space Odyssey, as in science fiction. All right, 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. It's not news, it's The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Boy, things sure have changed, though. I remember in 2000, I came home the night of the election, and we had just been here doing our syndicated show for a year, and I came home. I had just cast my vote for Al Gore that day, and I came home to my wife and kids sitting around the television set, jumping up and down with glee as Bush won state after state, and I got so angry that I was banished to another room. Well, if you can't be happy with the family, you know, that, well, I just don't like you guys. Get out of here. I got thrown out of there. And for a solid year, I said, George Bush, this guy is a big fat blur. Just a blur. And the guy came around, as far as I'm concerned, at a very important time. I mean, he could have screwed this 9/11 thing up six ways to sunset, and he didn't. And I got news for you. Anybody that thinks he did hasn't got a clue as to what else we could have done. Not even the beginning of a clue as to what else could have been done on that day. That's why, take a look at this poll. It's out today. I don't know how Kerry feels about it. By the way, John Kerry, I got to tell you something. This guy has been doing a college campus speaking circuit, a speaking tour. Man, he's falling like a sulfuric fart. People are just, like, not impressed. He's walking into these college campuses saying this lame-ass stuff like, by the way, I'm giving a presidential pardon for whatever you did on Easter break. And, you know, a little, you know, mild tittering of laughter. Then he launches into some other crap. And by the end of the speech, there's like a guy with a broom waiting to sweep up. That's it. Everybody's gone. In other words, this guy's given nobody any reason, any passion, nothing. All right, now. Here's a story about some Muslims in Michigan, and you know what they want to do? They want to have their prayer, call to prayer, broadcast over the town. Have you ever seen, I'll tell you, at the beginning of The Exorcist, they have the prayer calling the guy in the loudspeaker, whatever the hell, and everybody like does their thing. Right, they all bow to the east or something. That's what they do in the Muslim countries. They got a guy on a loudspeaker. It's like their version of Harry Carey. Take me out to the ball. They sing, take me out to the ball game. And then they have, and they do the whole thing. And the cats all bow. And the women all wear the shawls over their heads. And then they take them home and they beat them. And that's a beautiful, again, just kind of a beautiful moment in Muslim culture. Oh, you're misrepresenting our culture so terribly, Mr. Hendry. What a bigot you are. Well, you know something? No, I'm not, because I've seen the stories. I told you about that thing going on in Oklahoma with the girl wearing a shawl. She's suing for the right to wear it. You better look into that house. I ain't kidding you either. A lot of these women are being physically abused by the men. They're being sold into marriage by the men. You better look into some of this so-called traditionalist behavior. Anyway, in Ham Hock, Michigan, or Prest Ham, Michigan, something like that, they want the right to broadcast their call to prayer over loudspeakers. Now, there's a lot of long-time residents that are resisting what they consider an affront to non-Muslims. Now, me, this is where I come down on. This is America. We do have church bells that ring, do we not? Bang, bong, clang. If you live next door to it, it ain't pleasant, I can tell you that. When I grew up out in Arcadia, we had electronic bells at our church at Holy Angels. Some guy would push a button and it would just be a recording of bells. Every hour on the hour. There's a church in Liverpool, England, that is right next to some place where the Beatles made famous. In any event, the chimes go off there at 5 a.m., and I'm told if you've got a steaming hangover, it's nothing you want to be around. Just all of a sudden at 5 a.m., bong, bang, bang. Dude's just out of bed. Guy's already pale white, blood sugar at an all-time rock bottom low, and now this. Goes into the bathroom, grips the sink, looks in the mirror, nothing but bloodshot staring back. It ain't beautiful. Now this is what I think, honest to God. I'm all for it, man. I mean, this is America. A guy to be able to do his thing. They got bells clanging. Why not a guy come out and broadcast his blathering stuff so that everybody kneels on their carpet? Not a problem. I just want to say one tiny, itsy-bitsy little thing. Just a little tiny word to the wise. we got a tradition in this country where we respect religious rights up to a point. When they start invading the rights of other people, when religious interests begin to try to call the shots for everybody, even if they violate constitutional protections, then we get into problems, and we get violent problems. We've had our battles with the Christians, okay? We don't want to go down the same road with the Muslims. That's all I'm saying. So I know you're against abortion, all the Christian people, for instance, but hey, guess what? It's still legal, and if you try to block abortion clinics, some heads are going to get smashed, all right? Now, that's just the way it is, because this is America. You get your religious rights up to a point, and the same thing goes for the Muslims. You want to live in America, and of course, many of you are native-born, that's fine, and you want to be a Muslim, no problem, man, and you should have every right in the world. Just don't start pushing the agenda to the point where we want some kind of a theocracy going on over here, okay? Now, maybe that's the way they do it over in the Middle East, but this is a whole different thing here, and people don't like that. Now, that's all I'm saying. It's a word to the wise. And like I said, look out of that headscarf thing, anybody who's in any kind of position of power in Oklahoma, because I'm guaranteeing you, no 13-year-old girl sues for the right to wear a headscarf. I don't care who she is. Most 13-year-old girls don't want to wear headscarves because they don't want to look like the campus freak. Do you get it? That girl's being forced to wear that thing. And there may be, where there's smoke, there might be just a small, tiny little brush fire. 1-800-449-8686. Email address phs@philhenryshow.com.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Larry Grover paid a visit to our show on Friday. Mr. Grover is the night manager at Culver Print, but he was on to talk about how he is, as a man, he's been divorced from his wife now for 4 years, but he is a terrific lover. He just doesn't want to kiss women. He doesn't want to kiss them because he feels that women have bad breath, although he's a fantastic lover. Now, Roberta called our show. She says she puts up with her husband's breath because she loves him. Larry says he would rather get on a roller coaster to avoid kissing his women. In fact, that's exactly what he does in this segment from our show Friday.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I don't think you can judge a woman on the base of her breath. I think that that's a surface issue that can be dealt with for the fact that women have to deal with men's breath as well. And I personally find my husband's breath repulsive. And when I ask him to...
Larry, are you hearing what this lady's saying?
Yes, sir.
It's repulsive. I can't kiss him with that. I understand the fact that you don't want to kiss because of breath, but...
understand that kissing is a repulsive practice.
I understand that, but I also understand that I'm going to do my best to get kissed because I like being kissed. And it is fantastic.
I don't like it myself. And I've been on this roller coaster now for about probably a good 20 minutes because I know when I get off,
I've been listening for the good 20 minutes.
Yeah, and I got to get off and kiss this woman.
Larry, it's an insult to a woman to say to her, I don't want to kiss you. Let's just go straight to bed.
It really is because it's very erogenous.
That's the reason why I'm on Mr. Henry's show tonight to show you. That it is
fabulous.
It is unnecessary, and that women can still enjoy sex with men without it.
I have on that for the fact that I've never enjoyed sex without a kiss. Because it's such an erogenous point in my body that it just turns me on beyond belief.
Well, I will tell you, and you stay with your husband because maybe it's your own breath that you're smelling, not your husband's. But you know what I'm saying? Why would you stay with a guy like that?
I've asked him when he knows he needs fresh breath.
Right, I see.
I told him that I said, you have that. I would like you to remedy that. In whatever those little fresh pants.
Fresh breath assure. My friend Bill Handel.
When they do, But it's
in the name
easy,
of the Father, the Son, and the Holy
trick.
Ghost.
Wow. Once he does that, he knows he's going to get kissed. Because
so
he knows how much I respect him doing that for me.
So obviously you don't look at each other in the lovemaking process, right?
Yes, we do.
Do you avoid... I don't understand that.
What are you saying?
It's a dual effect.
Are you telling me you avoid eye contact with women you make love to?
Absolutely. You never
Why is that?
You never want to make eye contact with them.
Why?
Because
that,
it's repulsive. It's not hygienic.
That's just the four-letter word. That's not sex. That's the four-letter word that I cannot repeat on the radio.
Well, I can tell you, ma'am, what I like women to do is to wear some kind of a surgical mask during lovemaking. I realize it sounds unusual, and I...
Why not present?
Well,
why
because
not,
it's you don't you, there's micro obviously there's the risk of germs. When a woman
well,
makes
so,
when,
so is that.
What I need for them to do is put on a full surgical mask and gloves.
Are you kidding?
And when we have sex, yes, ma'am.
Then that is a transmittal of germs in the making because
Phil Hendry Show
Comedy Gold.
I'm telling you, that's top-notch. I mean, where else are you going to hear a guy talking to a caller about modern, you know, and meanwhile he's screaming on a roller coaster and the woman's just clueless? And I have her wear a surgical mask and gloves? You can't beat that. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be back on the Phil Hendry Show. We have a little bit more to report about. This thing is the worst... Let me just say this, man. I don't like lists. Are you guys into these lists? The 100 most influential people and the 100 sexiest chicks. But there's actually a really cool list out, the worst songs of all time, and these guys got a couple of them right. It's very subtle, and we need to talk about it when we come back here. The other thing is we haven't been into our athletic file, if you will, or our pro sports file for a long time. But we've got to get into it. Ty Law, who's a defensive back with the New England Patriots, was popped in Miami over the weekend for, I don't know, he ran away from some cops, but he's alleged to have said something entirely predictable. He said, "Don't put your hands on me. I'm a professional athlete." Why do I want to believe that? Well, probably because I just hate most of those guys. And then also, the National Football League got a favorable ruling. You know, the NFL is trying to keep underclassmen from joining. They don't want anybody who's not a senior being eligible for the National Football League draft. Now, I almost understood their reason, even though I didn't agree with it. Their original reason was it would screw with the entire collective bargaining agreement as it exists. And I kind of get that. It would mess up relations with the union. Now they're trying to say it's because they want kids not to come out to... They want them to be big and strong so they can play as seniors. And I think either the reporter made that up... Or the NFL just realized they can sell anything because when it comes to them, people believe anything. We don't want kids to come out as underclassmen because we believe spiritually they need more growth and religious tutoring. Oh, thank you. We rule in favor of the NFL. Thank you very much, sir. You got it, Mr. Tagliabue. Catholic? I assume because you're Italian. 1-800-449-8686. While you're on our website, www.philhenryshow.com, grab a copy of the Best of the Phil Hendry Show 2003 CD, The Death of Talk Radio. It's available on our website or by calling the following number, 877-616-7445.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
My good friend Mr. Pelton just told me that somebody bought $300 worth of women's handbags on his credit card. And he doesn't know anything about it? Yeah, right. Hi, everybody. This is the Phil Hendry Show. Your wife called you and said there was $300 worth of female handbags? And you played dumb? Why don't you just come right out and tell her? Honey, I got them all for you.
They're attaches. They're not
$300 worth of handbags. See, this is a thing called, there's more and more of it. If you guys aren't hip to this identity theft thing, I don't think that's what happened to Pelton. I think somebody just got a hold of his number. But there is the thing called identity theft, and you really got to be aware of the fact. It's out there, man. And my wife got a hold of this company, and guess who's involved in it? You know the guy that was the kid who was on that Catch Me If You Can, Abagnale, Frank? He endorses this company, and I wish I knew the name of it or I'd tell you what it is. But as you know, if you saw the movie, that guy is now working with the FBI and has been for a long time. He's also a security consultant, yada, 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 and you know, warns that identity theft is one of these very serious realities. But there's a company out there that will completely scrub you clean in terms of your... in terms of the problems that you have there. I just don't know the name of it, so aren't I a big help? Well, look up Abagnale and find out about identity theft. There must be some company or something you can find there on the old internet. But these people that are stealing... I had my cell phone, man. Remember they used to clone phones? Or is it called clone? Yeah, they would clone your phone. Doesn't happen anymore because the security on that, I guess, got a little more sophisticated. But they were stealing my... I was getting phone bills. And I hate to tell you this, but all the calls went to Compton. I'm sorry, but they did. Every call placed was to somewhere in Compton. So just watch that, man. Are you sure you didn't buy those handbags for yourself? I think that's probably what happened. $300 worth of female handbags. Do you think that that's somebody who's going to resell them out of the trunk of his car, something like that? Notice I say he. 1-800-449-8686. So they've got the top crap songs of all time in Blender magazine. The top worst ever records. And this is a fascinating list for a couple of reasons. It really, unlike most of the lists that are out in magazines that are so cursory and so brain dead and so unfunny, even when they're trying to be, that you get tired of seeing the top this, the top that. I used to even dig that Mr. Blackwell's Worst Dressed, and even he is, like, who cares? And then they came out with the 100 Hottest Chicks. Yeah, okay. But here's one that we can all sink our teeth into. We can all love this for a variety of reasons. This is the worst songs of all time. I'm going to tell you what they think is the worst song. Oh, I guess I will. They think the worst song ever is We Built This City by Jefferson Starship. It sucks. I don't know if it's the worst song ever. They also have in their songs like The Sounds of Silence by Simon and Garfunkel. They call it corny, pretentious folk rock. The problem with that selection is simply this. If it was 1963, the guys that edit Blender magazine would probably have nothing but Simon and Garfunkel records in their apartments. You know what I'm saying? But because of Simon and Garfunkel and the ensuing singer-songwriter phenomenon, which gave birth to bands like R.E.M. and Hot House Flowers, and on we go. Not Hot House Flowers. What's the band? The Wallflowers?
Wallflowers.
Hot House Flowers. That's like some old Irish band, isn't it? Anyway, we now have those bands because it's so. I don't think it's quite fair to start knocking songs that came out in the 60s because of their lame lyrics, because everything sounds lame from the 1960s. Lyrically, yeah. What, are you going to tell me that The Wind Cries Mary by Jimi Hendrix? That's some real solid lyrical. You want a bad song? After all the tracks are in the box. What does that mean? But they do have some songs here that I got to agree with. The first one is Ebony and Ivory by Paul McCartney and Stevie Wonder. Now, I understand that it's a very nice sentiment. Ebony and Ivory, why can't we all live together, right? The problem is I don't buy it. It sounds commercial. At a time when, even today, at a time when black and white don't get along all that well, and there's Stevie Wonder and Paul McCartney, two guys that I would not say are poster child for the civil rights movement. I mean, neither one of these guys strikes me as Mr., you know, why can't we all get long? So the guys come out in 1982 with his song Ebony and Ivory, and it just fell like a really gaseous fart. Now they have here The Heart of Rock and Roll by Huey Lewis and the News. Man, I'm glad they put that on the list. I hated that song with every fiber of my being. You know that band, Huey Lewis and the News, used to be some kind of a boogie bar band up in San Francisco? Some producer got a hold of those guys, man, and just turned them into, you know, gay night out. P-U. And I do mean you. The Heart of Rock and Roll is still beating. Yeah, it's still beating, man. I guess it was still beating when Frankie Avalon was singing, too. I'll tell you who's still beating. All right, now here it is. Frank Abagnale. Thanks, Janice. Identity Secure and Privacy Guard. I think it's Identity. Oh, no, I think it's Privacy Guard. Privacy Guard's the one. Look into this company called Privacy Guard, because this identity theft stuff is rampant, but there's some companies now that are developing some real methods to keep your credit card secure. People stealing your identity. How'd you like to be pulled over by a cop some night at 2 a.m.? Are you Fred Flintstone? No, I'm not. Well, yes, you are, because it says so, and you're guilty for serial murder. I didn't do anything. You're on your way to the Bastille, brother. All right, getting back to the worst songs of all time. Yeah, the harder rock and roll. Then they have some obvious ones like Ice Ice Baby. Yeah, sure, of course that sucked. Why wouldn't it? Vanilla Ice knew it was, he knew it was bad when he made it. He expected it to blow. Vanilla Ice couldn't have been serious. In fact, I think that guy's the greatest gag act of all time. Vanilla Ice with that waterfall effect curl and that whole, you know, sampling of that Queen tune, Under Pressure. And man, that guy just was begging for it. But they got another song here that I couldn't agree with more. Everybody Have Fun Tonight, Wang Chung. I got your Wang Chung, my brother. That song comes on, and I look for any dull razor blade, anything that could possibly just break skin. And and I'm sitting there in the bathroom, clenching my fists, trying to get the blood pumping harder out of my veins so that maybe I'll be dead before it ends. What is that? You know, that whole dance craze, I'm going to tell you something, and I mean this sincerely. It's never been anything but bad for rock and roll. I'll tell you why. Rock and roll is dance music. Why do you need to have dance music? It is dance music. It always was dance music. You dance to rock and roll. That's what it is. It's dance music. So when some guy came along and said, you know, it just ain't danceable enough, what we need is to really dance it up, that's when it started to get commercial, and that's when you started getting bands like Wang Your Chung, Wang Chode, and, you know, the heart of rock and roll is still beating, so we can all pretend like it's 1958. Ah, oh, get out of here. Anything that killed rock and roll, it was people. After a while, they said, well, thank you. We'll take it from here, man. All you guys that invented rock and roll, yeah, let us take it from here. Now we'll do dance music. It's not that disco sucks necessarily. I realize the chicks like it. Women like disco. That's what women like. They like to dance to it, and they want to hear it, and that's fine and dandy. I have an aversion to it. I don't like it. I feel like I'm, when I'm dancing to disco music, I feel like the world's biggest queer. I'm sorry. Told my wife, I can't dance to this. But they wanted to have dance music. And now what we have is that, what is that crap called? That techno?
Techno.
Techno that Craig Taylor, my engineer, goes down to the Clockwork Orange every Friday night when he was living in L.A. and danced his, quote, ass off, end quote. And I'd say, Craig, you know, you're kind of butch the rest of the week, and then you go down there and dance to that swill. You dance to that stuff?
No, dude.
Dude! I hate it all, man. I hate it all. So thank you for putting that on there. Now then there's a tune here called Don't Worry, Be Happy. Remember that thing? It would have been good if they would have played it just once.
Did he kill himself?
Did Bobby McFerrin blow his own brains out? Bobby McFerrin killed himself? Of course he did. Well, that's a good way. Does that surprise you? No, one day he realized what he'd done to the world, releasing that record, and he decided to just go ahead and swallow a snub-nosed barrel and really make a mess. Oh, man. Here's a little song. You know why he wrote that song? It was therapy. His head shrinker told him to go and write it because he was depressed. So he wrote Don't Worry, Be Happy, and that didn't help. What the hell, man? He made a few million or something off of that. I don't know what they make off these records. We think they make millions. Their managers make millions. So check it out. It's in Blender Magazine. They also have Obla Di Obla Da by the Beatles. It was a long time coming to put that on the list because that White Album has got a lot of garbage on it. It's a good, you know, there's a lot of great songs in that Beatle White Album, but there's a lot of wasted crap. The whole history of the Beatle White Album is about the band wanting to make everybody happy, so everybody got to have all of their songs put in. So one of the worst songs I've ever heard, While My Guitar Gently Pees by George Harrison, hate it. Obla Di Obla Da, hate it. Macarena did not make the list, and neither did Who Let the Dogs Out, because both songs were purposefully cheesy. They were purposefully sort of dumb. So, And Who Let the Dogs Out, frankly, is a cool song. They play, it's like number one on Disney Radio. I got to listen to it every morning taking my daughter to school. Disney Radio! No! No! And the disc jockey they got in there is great. He sounds like he's six. Hi, everybody. Okay, this is Billy. Ha-ha, okay, who let the dogs out? He's, like, giving away, you know, hats, Davy Crockett hats and stuff. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The last gasp before the death of radio.